be a positive human being and help your fellow citizens and try to be a positive community member.
Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
So I'm with Colin Smith from Green Event Services. How's it going today?
It's going quite well.
Good. Thank you so much for meeting me at Purple Perk. So you are Green Event Services and been around for about 3 years or so?
Yeah, we're going into our fourth summer this year.
What is your main directive?
Our goal is to make all events as close to zero waste as possible and increase the positive impact of events have on their communities and attendees and decrease and eventually eliminate the negative impacts.
And what inspired you to start the company?
So I was working as an electrician in the oil and gas industry and wanted to try to solve some of the problems instead of just being a part of them that I saw in the world. So I started volunteering for Sled Island Music Festival and quickly became their environmental coordinator. And then through that got a job at Village Brewery where I saw numerous events and festivals that they were involved in and the amount of waste that was created. So thought about it for a little bit and bought some recycling bins and started offering my services to people that I knew through Village and in the community.
So what are some of the things that you're doing to divert the waste from the landfills?
One of our main values is education. When people are more aware and educated about waste and how they're playing a role in being wasteful, they tend to want to change more readily than if you just told them, hey, stop throwing stuff in the garbage. So we try to educate our event organizers that we work with, our staff, and then the attendees of the event. And so just trying to inspire people to be environmental stewards of our communities and the planet and raise awareness of how waste is a challenging problem, one of many challenging problems that we're facing, but how it plays a role. And when we solve the waste problem, it solves or helps solve other problems as well.
And what about at the actual event, what kind of systems are you setting in place to divert it, like physically?
Yeah, secondary to education is the actual services we provide. So we rent customers' recycling infrastructure. So that means the recycling stations that have, depending on the needs of the event, could have up to four bins. So we have bottles and cans recycling. Albertans and Calgarians are quite good at putting beverage containers in a blue circular opening that says cans and bottles only, so that's pretty easy. But the next bins we have would be mixed recycling, so this would be for hard plastics and cardboard and paper, that sort of thing. That is the most confusing bin for most people because most people think all sorts of things are recyclable when they're actually not. So that's where our education comes in. The next bin is a compost bin, which is the holy grail of waste reduction. With compost, it breaks down anything that's naturally produced, so any paper products can be composted, and then we encourage all of our events to tell their vendors to use compostable foodware, which when they're not using compostable foodware, all that food and disposable items, the forks and the plates, have to go in the garbage, but when it's the intent is there to compost it, we can take all that waste that would have gone in the garbage and compost it. And that composting is working with microorganisms, bacteria, insects to break down food and paper waste into high nutrient dense fertilizer that can play a role in rebuilding topsoil and growing food and rebuilding our landscapes. And then the last bin is our garbage bin. So this is for any items that are not recyclable, contaminated, stuff like that. We try to eliminate that bin as much as possible. There's some events where we just have a bottles and cans bin and a compost bin, and this is where the event organizer and everybody is very on board with the goal of being zero waste. But many times there's always still a few items here or there that have to go in the landfill, coffee cups and little bits of plastic and that sort of thing.
So the second bin, is that basically like Calgary's recycling program,
yeah,
like the blue bins that we
would
have?
Yeah, the mixed recycling bin is exactly like the blue bin behind your house.
So what are some of the common misconceptions of something that could go in there that shouldn't?
That's a great question. The biggest one I would say would be disposable coffee cups. In some other facilities in different regions, waste is very regional, and it all depends on what the facility in your area can process. And in Calgary, the mixed recycling facility cannot process disposable coffee cups. Most people think they're mostly paper, but they have a plastic lining on the inside that makes them mixed material and not recyclable. Other items are plastic knives and forks, like just the Dixie brand. That sort of thing. Those are very hard for the recycling facility to sort out, and they're very low quality plastic, so they're essentially not recyclable and highly wasteful. That's where we encourage the use of compostable forks, which are made from plant-based materials. Coffee cup lids. A few years ago, the city of Calgary told us we were able to recycle coffee cup lids, but that we've since been told that they're not recyclable, and when you think about it, they weigh next to nothing, and they're a very brittle, low-quality plastic, so there's very little value in trying to recycle them anyway.
So the compostable cutlery, is it more expensive for an event planner to invest in that kind of material?
It has been more expensive in the past, and in a few ways it still is, but marginally, the prices are dropping rapidly as the demand for these products rises. There's more suppliers and the market's becoming more competitive because many jurisdictions and event organizers are realizing that they are creating large amounts of waste when they're just using kind of plastics of the past. But now there's a big enough demand that the prices are dropping. And then that marginal price increase can be made up for by the cost of disposal, the way this pricing system in Calgary is set up for disposal. Landfill waste is the highest cost to dispose of, and mixed recycling is kind of middle of the road because recycling takes a lot of energy, and then compost is a much lower disposal fee.
So in regards to composting, I was always wondering, like, when I did have the forks and the plates and that I knew are compostable, I would worry that the food that I had on my plate might not be compostable if there's a lot of oils or, you know, things that are maybe more processed in the food itself.
Yeah.
Like cheese and stuff like this.
So in your backyard, composter, some things are not recommended to put in there for a few reasons. One is for pests. Breads and grains tend to attract mice and stuff like that. Meat and bones, your composter doesn't reach a high enough height to break down those items safely in a healthy way. And dairy can cause smells and stuff like that. But that's just your backyard composter, so you just want to stick to vegetable scraps and coffee grounds for your backyard composter. But industrial compost facilities have much bigger operations. And there's various ways that they do this. They can do it with windrows, which are essentially just big piles, just like your backyard composter, but because they're so big, the core temperature can actually get up to a much higher heat and break down those other items that wouldn't be suited for your backyard composter. And then other facilities are actually more industrial, where they're grinding it up, putting it into tanks, and digesting it in a very technical way. So you don't really have to worry about what food is on your plate. Any food is acceptable. And on the same note, the compostable foodware, most of it won't break down in your backyard composter because it needs that higher heat in specific conditions. The paper products will, like a paper plate. It's just like an egg carton, very easy for your backyard composter. But the forks and knives and the bioplastics, they take specific conditions where there's a certification standard of compostability that needs to be met in order for these products to go to those facilities.
So I've found from my personal experience attending events that do have some green services like yourself, that there's a bit of a boundary for me when I do reach the bins, like where I might want to get back to the stage or back to the beer gardens or something like that. Yeah. And I've got something that I'm just looking to get rid of, and there might be some information there, whether it's written or visual or whatnot, and I try to pay close attention and make the decision, but there's still some hesitation, like, am I putting this in the right place? What do you think the event organizer themselves could do to help to inform their customer who's attending the event?
What the event organizer can do is really communicate the message well, and that's something that Green Event Services can help with, and that we're working with our customers to elevate their game at. So we try to have signage at all the points of sale for food that says, we're using compostable foodware, please put all of your foodware and food waste in the compost bin when you're done with it. Another thing is the MC at the stage can say that at the end of at every break between act or at any announcement stages, showcase and highlight and shout it from the rooftops the efforts that you're taking to be environmentally responsible. And there is a gap in education of your attendees, but by having that microphone and the big speakers, you can really raise the awareness of that. And then lastly is at some events, our staff are able to stand at the bins and educate people as much as we can, but for the most part, we try to keep our staffing as cost-effective as possible, so just the bare minimum of staff.
I guess it depends on the client whether or not they can afford to...
It does. So another option is getting volunteers involved for shorter shifts during peak times of food consumption to help educate people just by standing at the bin for an hour, and it's actually a really enjoyable experience. People are really excited when there's somebody there and you can pass on information. They feel empowered. They're not confused. And yeah, that's something where we have lots of people that are really passionate about what Green Event Services do and don't necessarily want to work for us, but they want to help. So we're developing a better system for getting those volunteers out to where they can make the most impact.
And I imagine once someone has that individual interaction, then they're taking that information with them from event to event. So as long as there's consistency in the bins and consistency in the materials that they're handling, then it should be
kosher. That is the most, that's what makes me feel real good when I see that happen and know that that is happening. And so we've been in business for 3 years, and year over year we see improvements at the events that we do on a regular basis. What great example is Market Collective. They were one of our first customers and are one of our most loyal customers. And in the first year, it was a bit challenging because nobody had seen us before or experienced this before. But then as we just continued to do more and more events with them, there was less and less contamination. You could see people were more confident in where to put things. And same with Lilac Fest. But yeah, by really doing as many events as we can within the Calgary area, we're exposing more and more people to this. We're just going to keep doing what we do and improving our communications about it, so it'll eventually just be as easy as putting that recycling or that bottle or can in the blue hole.
So is there a common shape or color for the other bins that people are, like, is it ubiquitous across the country, or is it just kind of like your company does compost is green, for instance?
I would say there's a standard, but it's not standardized across the country or across the world by any means. I don't know if you've seen a Portlandia episode where there's an event with like 12 different bins of different colors and all these different shapes. We really try to keep it as simple as possible, but we like four bins is still a bit excessive. But for compost, green is in Canada the accepted color. At the end of 2017, every single family home is getting a green bin, and that'll be for yard waste and compost food waste. So green and another common name for compost is organics, natural materials that will break down in the compost. And I don't know if it's just me, but I link the color green with compost and that process. recycling is blue, the blue bins for beverage containers, and your blue bin or our blue bins for mixed recycling. And then garbage is black, dark, and we want to reduce the amount of black in the world, I guess. Yeah.
I've noticed at Chinook Center, which is kind of our local big mall, in the food court, they have some staff who are managing like a very similar kind of installed system like this. And I was wondering just what you thought about that and what you're hoping to see in spaces in the future.
Yeah, so what they're doing at Chinook Center is very cool and very innovative here in Calgary. You bring your tray and you don't put it in, like, separate it into a garbage bin. You leave it on a counter, essentially, where a staff member will separate what can be composted into a compost bin and everything else will go in the garbage. It's a step in the right direction, but I think it's still a long ways off. At least they're composting that small amount of food waste, but every food vendor in there still has branded disposable cups and French fry containers and stuff like that, all of which has to go in the garbage. It's not compostable. The next step that I would love to see them do there is every food vendor uses a reusable plate and reusable forks and knives, and yeah, maybe the soda cups could even be reusable too. But going to that, that sort of system where instead of your branding giving the message to your customer, it's like actually the quality of your food, and there's not that disposable culture that is so prevalent here. And that's actually the next big step for Green Event Services, to be offer reusable foodware services to large events, where we have we show up with a bunch of clean foodware, but during the event we're able to wash it on site, recycling or capturing the water and then eventually recycling it, but eliminating the actual waste, or like a lot of the waste, by having reusable plates. I think we couldn't use the reusable forks and knives. We'd have to still stick with the compostables, but it would be a huge step in the right direction.
So having reusable plates, yeah. Washing them on site, and then...
Yeah, with a deposit system, so you pay an extra dollar when you purchase your hamburger or your dish of whatever kind, and then when you go to scrape your plate, you take it back to a convenient plate returning location and get your dollar or $2 back.
Yeah. That was a great idea.
Yeah.
So I noticed on the website that you're promoting some like in-house systems for recycling services as well, like more permanent structures and whatnot. What would that involve?
So that's something we're evaluating. There is a need for it, but we have identified that our core focus is large outdoor events where infrastructure doesn't currently exist. That's where we can have the biggest impact and there's the biggest need for our services. But we do have lots of connections to bin suppliers and recycling service providers, where we can essentially be a consultant and say, we recommend this system and this way of going about things. It'll save you this much money and make your life this much easier. And this company is a locally based recycling company, and they're great to work with, that sort of thing. But it's really not our core focus, and we're actually working on updating our website to keep it more in line with the direction of our business.
What about keeping up with the trends with the city? Are you kind of checking in with somebody at city to see what they are able to recycle and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we have a very strong and positive relationship with the city of Calgary in many departments. We work with directly with Waste and Recycling Services for our large events. They provide the roll-off bins or the dumpsters for our compost, recycling, and landfill waste. And they have access to the various local facilities. And they work. They have a very flexible schedule and are very supportive of us and the work that we're doing. The other relationship we have is with event liaisons in the special events office, who are the single point of contact for event organizers for on city property and in need of city permits. And so they're all very supportive of us as well. And we attend regular networking meetings and have personal relationships with a lot of city staffers as well in these departments.
Is there any kind of legislation in place that would prevent an event planner from just taking everything and throwing it in the dump?
Not specifically related to events, but the way that the tipping fees for various materials are set up, it's because the landfill fees are so high, it's discouraging people from...
So it's more a financial incentive than a detriment to them by getting some kind of bill or...
Yeah, there's no large fee, but one thing that the City of Calgary Special Events Office is looking at is you won't get your event permit unless you have some sort of environmental plan that includes waste management. It doesn't have to be extensive. You don't have to be doing everything top-notch. You at least have to have a plan, and then in order to get your permit the following year, they want to see improvement, or they want to see your report from what happened last year and how much waste was generated and that sort of thing, and they want to see a plan to at least marginally improve that. So they're guiding event organizers in the right direction, but not saying you have to do this or you have to do that. We just want to see you do a better job. And for Green Event Services, our services may cost an event more money in the first year or two, but eventually, as we implement our recommendations and get to a certain spot, those the costs balance themselves out. And I truly believe it. We make event organizers' jobs easier and make attendees' experiences more positive and have a really positive impact on events.
So they're potentially incurring more costs by hiring you, but then saving by not having to dispose of as much waste in the end.
Exactly. And developing relationships with their vendors to be less waste and working with them to share in the load, because essentially vendors are one of the biggest sources of waste. And if you can control what they're doing or hold them more responsible for the waste that they're creating at your event, you can just be much more aware and have a lot more forethought into what you're doing in order to prevent that waste, and sharing in the responsibility of managing it as well.
And what about in regards to water? If you're providing fresh water on site for the patrons, or if there's wastewater, do you have any services in that regard?
We were doing water for a few specific customers, but we kind of put that on hold to focus on what we did best or where we could have the most impact, which was with the waste. There's another local business in Calgary called Dig, Do It Green Events, and they have many water stations and water trailers that they provide. And in the City of Calgary, there's actually a program where you can talk to your special event liaison at the City of Calgary, and there's a subsidy program. Like, it's a water education, water-wise program, where that trailer can be provided essentially free of cost. But it's on a first-come, first-served basis. So our target or our growth plan is to target more large outdoor events of a certain size, like over 5,000 attendees. And we're looking to expand regionally. And so as that growth happens, we know we're going to have to invest in some water equipment as well. And we want to do it in a way that is ideally connected to the local water source, or what we would create as a central water system, because wastewater can cause problems at events for public safety, because of when people are filling up their water bottles, water's leaking and it just creates a big mud pit, which isn't good for safety, but also just attendee experiences. Tiptoeing around the mud is not...
People could be slipping, and also it could be causing like more mosquitoes and things like that if it's over a few days.
Yeah, but the general requirement for any event is any vendors, and there should be no wastewater hitting the ground and contaminating the local environment. And we would definitely align ourselves with that and try to ensure that their system is in place to manage any wastewater that was created.
So what can the individual event attendee do aside from using the bins at the event to...
So many things. Depends on the event you're going to, but if it's a local event, I would suggest riding your bike or taking transit or carpooling just to cut down on traffic on the road and the associated emissions from that. Also, riding your bike is fun and keeps you in better shape than driving around in your car all the time. Next would be being very conscious of not just your waste when you're going to an event, but in your daily life. Try to reduce the amount of packaging that you are purchasing. Don't buy a pre-peeled orange that comes in a plastic container and stuff like that. Just like, and in that same vein, using a reusable coffee cup and reusable water bottles, bringing your own lunch and packaging it in reusable containers. That goes a long way to eliminating waste. You can essentially be a zero waste attendee, and that's how I like to be when I go to events, is just be self-sufficient. Obviously there are times when you have to buy from vendors, and so when you are at the event, choosing vendors that are locally owned and operated, because local money has a much more positive impact on our community instead of going to Pizza Hut or McDonald's. And choosing vendors that are using environmentally responsible foodware, the compostable foodware. And then just be a positive human being and help your fellow citizens and try to be a positive community member.
I was wondering about the actual materials once you have them collected. Are you doing sorting after the event before it hits the landfill?
Yes, that's a definite need, especially when we don't have the manpower to stand at every recycling station. Obviously, there is some confusion and people put things in the wrong bin. And in order for the compost to go to the compost facility, it can't have any contamination in it. So our strategy to deal with this is, before we throw it in the large compost bin that'll go to the facility, we put on our rubber gloves and open up the bag and just have a look for any Tim Hortons cups or just any contamination that wouldn't be compostable, to ensure that everything that's going to go to the compost facility is recyclable. And we also have a quick look in the landfill bins to, if there's any large amounts of compost in there, we will do that. Sorting is a huge part of our operations for sure.
What is one of your most painful memories from an event?
Oh, there's many, but they're all good learning experiences and steps that have gotten us to where they are now. But one of our biggest pet peeves is when, say, there's 20 food vendors in an event and 19 of them all have the right compostable foodware, and one has one type of fork or cup that is not compostable, and we have to search through every bin for this one piece, one item that we have one food vendor to blame for it. And we do actually in our contracts end up having a fee that we pass back to that one vendor who is responsible for that, but it's so painful and tedious going through 100 bags of compost fishing out this one fork or item,
and then really that gives you a feeling about that vendor also. From then on, everybody associates that painful memory.
Yeah, we will never eat at that vendor again. Yeah. But also, there are also innocent mistakes, and we are forgiving as well. And it's all part of the learning process. And I'm really proud to say that because of the work that we've done trying to educate vendors and going through those painful experiences, many vendors have just gone 100% compostable year-round, no matter what the event is, because it's a requirement at so many events now, and it's a pain for them to have two different types of foodware that they're switching back and forth from, and the cost increase is marginal. So, we've had a huge positive impact on event vendors in Calgary, and I think the trend is happening on a nationwide or a continental scale as well. And yeah, we just got to keep working and keep our head up.
And what is one of your most fond memories from an event?
Oh, that's another good question. There's many. I really like being able to empower our staff to have a positive impact and pay them a living wage to do that. And after this year, just seeing the connections that our staff had made, the friendships that they had made with each other, and then the experiences they had had that they then take into their daily lives about reducing their own waste and telling people about it, is really positive. But our best event story was an event where the organizer and all the vendors were on board, and it was a 20,000 person food festival over 2 days, and we had 156 bags of compost and one bag of garbage for that whole two-day event, that's what we want to see at every event. So that was a huge positive for sure.
What is one event that you've attended that really inspired you, and what was it that was so inspiring about it?
Circle the Wagons that's a local Calgary festival that was started by Bass Bus, Village Brewery, and YYC Food Trucks. And this past year it happened at Pump House Park, and just the organizers and the community that rallied around that event came together to just make it so diverse and eclectic and a really beautiful sight. And it was also a very low waste event. Everything was compostable, and yeah, it was like no event I think Calgary has ever seen, just with its uniqueness. And there was circus performers and different types of music and all sorts of stuff happening. It was really, really awesome.
If you were stranded on a desert island and you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Like chicken and rice, just a standard staple. I don't know. I've never been asked that question before.
And if people want to find out more about you and the company, where can they go to?
They can go to our website, www.greeneventservices.ca, or we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. And we're trying to stay as active as possible to educate people what we're doing.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great chatting with you.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.